I believe that we're living in those days, though, where we're beginning to see all these events playing out, things coming into play that are setting ourselves up for that tribulation period. And we're going to talk a bit about some of these things here. Let me invite Randy up right now, because we want to kind of dialogue about some of these things here and address some of these things. And again, if you got questions about some of these things, would you just go ahead and fire them out to the email, and I'm going to be looking at that right now. Or if you've got some that you want to put on the YouTube chat, you can go ahead and do that. But it's an interesting time that we're living in right now, as God is at work. Now, it's a difficult time that we see, no doubt, with the coronavirus and how that has just changed life right now. But we know as things come closer to the end, the end of all things is at hand. And as we get closer to these things, we know that life is going to greatly be disrupted. But I pray that our hearts aren't being disrupted, aren't being discouraged, aren't being full of dismay and fear, because it helps us to see and realize that, man, our very hope is coming into closer reality now as we look to Jesus, as we see that he is at work and that he is coming. Oh, man. I just opened up the questions, and we had none before, and now there's plenty. And I'm going to see how we're going to be able to get through this here. Okay, so if I don't get to your questions today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cover them at another Sunday, and it'll give you opportunity to write some more in and a chance for me to kind of get to some of these things. Okay. All right. Here's a question right now, but okay, I'll get to this in a second. So, yeah, interesting times that we find ourselves in, but I like to say, man, it's exciting times that we're living in as the Lord is, I think, just bringing all these things together. So, Randy, as we look at these things going on, what are some things that you're seeing at work in the world that helps us to kind of see that it seems so evident that Jesus is kind of right on that brink of coming back again?
Well, there's so much going on right now. There's the Bible lays it out for us. Luke 21, Matthew 24 talks about the times of the end and the kind of things we'd be looking at. And I actually had a list here of the things I was going to go through. First of all, was the Israel becoming a nation in one day. That was huge. That was a huge part of the end times. It's kind of a marker to know that we're really, really close. The Bible then goes on to say things. First thing it says is Jesus warns us to not be deceived. And there's a lot of deception going on right now and multi-layers of the of civilization and politics. But he said things like, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, nations will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, volcanoes, those things are just ramping up crazy right now.
Yeah.
If you start to really look into some of the things that are going on with our earth, and how it is just heaving. Remember how it says, riding in, if the stones...
Yeah.
The stones
if these people
out,
won't
yeah.
celebrate me and praise me, then even the stones will.
Well, I think our world has got to the point where we haven't been worshiping and praising our Lord, and the rocks are really actually beginning to cry out, because the potential for the earthquakes and volcanoes is insane. Plagues. There's been a locust plague going on. It started in Africa, has moved up into the Middle East, and it's devastating crops. There's going to be famine as a result of it. We're seeing that. It warns of pests and pestilence.
Pestilence.
Here
that's
we are.
That's a big one, right?
Like, can you? It's kind of hard to avoid this one that's happening right now because it's worldwide. And great signs from heaven, fearful sights, all kinds of things. And then you think about, well, what about nations against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms? I have a list here of just some of the things that are going on right now. The U.S. and China have tensions, potential war. China and Taiwan. Now listen to this one. Turkey has issues with the U.S. Turkey has issues with Russia, Greece, Israel, and Syria. Turkey's a real problem right now.
Yeah.
And then we see them as being one of the many who will attack Israel during the tribulation period.
And that's the Ezekiel 38-39, which we see a lot of these players there in that really coming into play today right now.
Yeah, so, they're all lined up right on the northern border of Israel, just sitting, waiting, just as Everything we're talking about is what the Bible has said is going to happen.
Yep.
And the crazy thing is, it's all true, and it's all going to happen, and we're watching it happen.
Yeah.
We have Saudi Arabia, who has a problem with Iran. Iran has a problem with the U.S. Iraq has a problem with the U.S. The Turks, it says nation against nation. That's like ethnos. That's just basically different groups of people. Don't need that anymore. Yeah. The Turks hate the Kurds. The Indians and the Pakistanis are always at odds. The Russia versus Ukraine dispute. Shias and Sunnis continuing their 1,500-year rivalry. The U.S. has Black Lives Matter. It's been a real problem at dividing. Even their own political parties are crazy at dividing the country. In Nigeria, there's 200 different ethnic groups that are causing division right now. So all this is going on in the world right now. And when you try to warn people about what's coming, what typically happens? It's been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah.
You say he's going to be coming. And I remember when I did my last prophecy update in December, I never imagined this is where we would be right now.
Oof.
That we would be locked down.
It's kind of
the world locked down. The economy about ready to implode. And people scared. There is a lot of scared people out there right now. And God will use this for good things.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how quick things have happened. How, you know, what amazes me is to think about all these scenarios that you see happening, you know, during the tribulation period and how things will unfold. And you always think about, you know, just conflict wars and all these things, but who would have thought a virus would be the agent or the catalyst that would really begin to put a lot of these things now into play and to be implemented now into society, into culture, to where we're that much more ready to accept some of these things. And we'll get to that in a second, what some of these things might be and look like. But who would have thought that it would be a virus that would be the thing that would kind of lead into that? And that's what I see happening now. I'm going to get to that in a second, what I'm talking about, but let me get to one of the questions that came in here. And this question is important, I think, and it'll help us discuss a few things here. Should we still support Israel today? Or is it up to God to support them when the time comes? If we should support them, what biblical governing body are we to support there? Where do we support Israel today if we should? So I do believe that we should support Israel. Now, let me share something with you. Israel's not perfect. Israel's not a holy, spiritual, godly nation for the most part, all right? So let's make that clear. We don't support Israel just because of the fact, but because of the fact that they are still God's chosen people. When I referenced that prophecy of Daniel in Daniel 9, 70 weeks are given for them, 69 weeks, but then they're going to be cut off. And that's the case. They were, after Jesus came, remember he comes riding in Jerusalem, weeping because they had rejected him. And then he later prophesies that they're going to be, you know, removed from this place because they're going to rebel against the Romans and they're going to be driven out and where they have. So then suddenly in 1948, amazingly, they become a nation again, but God has spared that 1 week where he's going to continue to work with them again. So 69 weeks led from, you know, the time of the decree to Jesus coming to Jerusalem. But then right now, between that time, we're living in the age of the church, the age of grace. That's what we're living in right now. Israel's been set aside for time, temporarily blinded, but God still has a week reserved for them, a group of 7 years, which is the tribulation, as we see in Revelation, where God is once again going to begin to work through them and with them and use them. He's the apple of their eye, meaning that everything kind of revolves through the lens of Israel, in a sense. And they're going to become a huge focal point again in the tribulation period. And we see how all these nations are kind of jockeying themselves against Israel, in a sense. And so there's coming a time when God's going to remove the blinder, where he's going to lead them back to him, and ultimately to Jesus. So we support them because we understand they're still God's people. He still has a work and a plan reserved for them. He hasn't dismissed them at all. And so we pray for them. We pray that they would get saved. We pray that they would turn to God. We pray that God will continue to carry out his plans and purposes through them. And that's how we support them, is through prayer. It's not through any other other means, ultimately. But there's lots of ministries we can support there in Israel for them to be a blessing to them. But these are the ways that we support them, because we see that there's coming a time when the church is going to be removed, right? And so that time that God, again, now begins to see that last week of Daniel's prophecy, that last group of 7 years, be brought back into action where he is working with Israel once more specifically. And that's going to happen during the tribulation. So some of the things that we see happening, you know, in the tribulation as Revelation records, as we see elsewhere in Daniel, that there's going to be a mark of the beast. Now, again, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, I believe it is, primarily 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about how the Antichrist, the lawless one, it says, is not going to be revealed until the falling away, which I believe is a picture of the rapture of the church, not a falling away, you know, in apostasy, but a removal, a taking away of the church. Then the Antichrist is revealed, all right? So those things are going to come into play now, and the Antichrist is going to introduce the mark of the beast, which people say, the Bible, Revelation says, you can't buy or sell. So again, what I was saying, it's interesting to see how the virus is leading into these things, because now they're talking about this ID 2020, which is going to be in the form of a vaccination. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Predominantly, this is something that I know Bill Gates and a corporation named Gain is involved in. The idea is, it started out with, they want every single person on the planet to have identification. There are a lot of people in the world who they can't actually prove who they even are. So this was based in, let's try and find a way that we can give an ID, a digital ID, to every single person on the planet, and that way it can help them, you know, if they're applying for things, and just so that they can really track them is what they really want to do.
Yeah.
And so they, Bill Gates has been talking about for a long time vaccinating people for numerous different reasons. But this has become a perfect opportunity to now create a vaccine that can take care of this COVID-19. And also at the same time, insert a digital marking. And what they've got is the sugar needles. So they go in, they inject it into your either your hand or wherever they want to put them. You know that there'll be a mark on the forehead at some point. And these sugar crystals, they're the needle that the virus comes through, but they just dissolve
the vaccination.
That dissolves, in the needles dissolve in the skin once you've been vaccinated, but it leaves a digital ID. And so they're going anywhere from chips to, so this ID that you would have in your hand, you can modify a smartphone and they can just scan it and it'll know what that means. It knows that you've been vaccinated. That's a predominant reason, is just to know you've been vaccinated. We're going to get to the point where your kids won't be able to go to school. You won't be able to have certain jobs unless you can prove you've been vaccinated. Because there are just this whole, I mean, you think about what we're going through right now, a whole world being basically shut down for the most part.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have to go through this again once we get through this one. And we're assuming that we will eventually get through this one. And this started out as being like a 2-week shutdown. Now it's months. Yeah. Now they're talking about second wave come the fall. So who knows where this is really going to go, or how long it's going to take, or how many lives will be lost through this, but there's going to be many, many people who are very willing to get the vaccine and to be ID'd, because it's going to become difficult just to get through life if we don't start accepting these things. If this happens in our culture before the rapture, this won't be the mark of the beast.
No.
So people, if you did take it, it's not the mark of the beast. You'll trust me.
You'll know.
When that time comes, you'll know.
The mark of the beast is linked.
Here, so.
The mark of the beast seems to be linked in Revelation to the worship of, you know, the Antichrist, his false prophet. You know, it's linked to the worship of that, the allegiance to him. So that's why those that take the mark of the beast, you know, are not going to be saved there. And so that's the difference there. I've seen people all through, you know, history with new technology come on. Oh, that might be them. I'm not going to touch that. You can't take the mark of the beast unless you're pledging allegiance to the Antichrist. And so that's the deal. That's what I believe in. But what is so interesting is that we're seeing now something like a virus that could be the catalyst, like I say, to usher in this kind of technology and means for the mark of the beast, right? Where we're seeing right now, I mean, stay at home. Going to grocery store, you got to be lined up, you know, a certain feet. But now it could eventually get to a point where you cannot go into a grocery store unless you can prove that you've had this mark or this vaccination. And the Bible says in Revelation that nobody can buy or sell unless they have this. And so now we're beginning to see how these things could come into play. I'm not saying that this is the mark of the beast, but what I'm saying is that this could be something that we could see being developed and could possibly be that. Now, I don't believe, again, we're going to see the mark of the beast come into play until we're raptured up and out of the way where the Antichrist can fully begin to do his work there at that time. But what I'm saying is that we're seeing these things happening now in quicker, faster measures than never before, to where it just makes us realize, man, the time sure seems short. So don't freak out. Be serious. Sober-minded. Think rightly, arm yourselves with the mind of Christ, and be watchful in your prayers. Keep seeking the Lord, right? So that's what is so exciting. And then we also see, because of all these things now, more calls to a one world government. And that's something that we see the Antichrist being a key figure of, is kind of rallying these nations together. And where the nation's saying, we need somebody to lead us through. That's where the Antichrist is going to rise to power, is through this one world government. And that's what the Bible's talked about. And we're already seeing now through the British former prime minister in the UK, Gordon Brown, has already started to put calls out saying, you know, we need a one world. And even he's saying a temporary, global government to combat this virus. That's what's being spoken. If you've been watching the news, you're hearing these things happening. And so it just lends itself to show, man, we're so close to these days right now.
Yeah, and he included the economy as well.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah. And then there's the one world religion, which certain entities are working very hard to make that happen.
Big time. Yeah. So interesting times we live in. Here's a question that came in that's a little bit unrelated, but let me share it here. It says, let's say you have a person who accepts Jesus as their Savior, becoming saved. In the future, that person renounces their faith and salvation. Are they still saved? Here's what I would say to that, and you can disagree if you want, but I believe that as long as a person is in Christ, they are saved. And that's why Jesus said time and time again, if you abide in me. And so we remain our salvation. We continue to work out our salvation. We continue to trust the Lord. The minute that a person says, I'm no longer trusting the Lord, then I don't believe that there is any salvation available for them, because they've walked away from it. I don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I believe you can leave it. You can walk away from it. So no, if a person renounces Christ and renounces their faith and salvation, then I don't believe that they are saved, because it's only when you are in Christ. So I believe that we can have an assurance of salvation, that I can't lose it as long as I am in Christ and holding on to Christ and keeping my faith in Christ. Anything you want to add to that?
My mind can't wrap around how you can be saved and ever
kind
of give that up.
Yeah.
I don't even know how it doesn't work within my mind.
Sure. So that's what a lot of people would say too, is that evidence that that person was never truly saved to begin with. So there's some passages in Hebrews 5 that talks about leaving that place of salvation, and there's no longer a sacrifice for repentance. And it doesn't mean that you can't be saved. It just means that there's no place to find salvation apart from Christ. And so we need Jesus. Okay, let's see here if there's any other. I've heard prayer should not be misused, such as praying in a way that treats God like a genie. For example, if someone didn't study for an exam and then prays for a good mark, what is the balance of this? Is it okay to pray for good marks on a test? That's a good question. Well, I think, yeah, it's okay to pray for good marks on a test, but basically you need to be praying for God to just give you remembrance of the things you studied. If you're praying, Lord, just put all the answers in my head because I didn't study as out. Pardon my friends. Well, I don't believe that's a profitable prayer. That's being a good steward of what you've been, you know, kind of called to do. So you're right. A lot of people treat prayer like God's a genie, and we're just coming with this magical formula, rubbing the genie bottle, and God's going to grant us our wishes. And that is the wrong way to pray. And so we want to pray Ultimately, what prayer does, prayer doesn't cause God to move according to our will and our desire. Prayer gets us in line with God's will. And that's what we do in prayer, is we come to the place of just resting in the Lord, trusting him and his will, and praying ultimately. And that's what Jesus said. This is that model prayer, that the Lord's will be done, not ours. And so that's what we desire. God, you carry out your will. And if it's God's will to fail you because you failed to study for your exam, then that's what we need to pray. So I think praying for these things is good, but praying ultimately, you know, just trusting him to help you in these times. And so that's a good thing. Anything to add to that?
No, I think you're right. that's good.
Okay. I'm gonna toss this one up to you, Pastor Randy. Is it okay to be nervous for the rapture even if you know you're saved?
Trying to process what that's actually asking. Nervous for the rapture, even though you know you're saved. I can understand why. Okay, I'm old. I can't wait to go home. Lord, take me now. But I know there's young people who, you know, maybe you're going to have your first baby and you're excited. You've just started your life and it's crazy good, and you're just thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want you to come right now because I have all these things I want to get done, or maybe you have goals that you're trying to accomplish. And I understand that mindset, but the reality is what he has planned for us is so much Amen. More incredible yeah. than anything that you could ever be looking forward to on this planet. I think for a lot of people, it's natural to be wondering about it and what's it going to be like. I mean, for a lot of people, they don't even really know what does happen when we die. Like, what does heaven look like? Mm-hmm. You know, is it people with wings and floating around? But if you know, I mean, God has basically said that he's created something for us that we don't even have the capacity to understand how incredible it's going to be. So if you are nervous about it, I would say you don't need to be. I understand why you might be. Mm-hmm. But if you're saved, what you're about to experience, I think, who knows? For the last 25 years, I've been saying, man, it's so close.
Yeah.
But the way things, and one of the things that we look for, the big word lately has been convergence. It's when everything starts to happen at the same time, mm-hmm. and it starts to come so quickly. I was saying to my wife yesterday, I said, you know, it's kind of weird because I have certain people that I like to watch, you know, hear what they have to say. And if I go to look up one of them and it's like 3 days old, I'm thinking, oh,
sorry. Too old now.
That's too old. That's yeah. 3 days has gone by since then. I want now to know what's going on. So things are speeding up so quickly that I don't know how much time we have left. Maybe we have years left to go. I don't know. But don't be fearful of what will happen when we're yeah. raptured, because I'm telling you, you'll realize that whatever it is you're longing for here, it just isn't going to compare to yeah. what we're going to receive. When yeah. we're with him.
Awesome. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to just close with a song, but I'll just add to that a little bit here because I remember as a kid, you know, growing up in the church and growing up in an era where, again, you got all these movies that are coming out, Mark of the Beast and, you know, all these movies that were about the rapture and things like that. And I remember as a kid kind of... a little bit fearful over those things because as a child, it was kind of like an uncertainty. It was things that were, I didn't really understand what this would all look like, what you're talking about, how this would all play out. And so I remember being very nervous, thinking about the rapture. I remember, you know, being like going to bed at night and I'd hear a noise and I'd think, oh my goodness, it's the rapture. My parents have been taken. I'm still here. Like I'd freak out, you know? And so there's uncertainties about it. But the more that you grow in Jesus and you begin to understand his great love for you, that he's got nothing but the best in store for you, the more that we begin to grow in Jesus, the more that we begin to lose our love for the world and the things of the world, to where suddenly you're just growing in your faith to a point where you just want to be with Jesus. These other things are having less of a hold on you. So I do understand that for some, There's a nervousness because maybe for you, there's an uncertainty. You don't know what this is going to be like. Or there's a worry of leaving people behind. But when we are with Jesus, we're going to be made perfect. And we're going to understand in just a complete way now, you know, what he has for us, who he is to us, where everything is just going to be brought to a place of comfort and joy. And so it's something that we look forward to, that we don't have to be worried about or stressed over, because he's got it. And he's got us right in the palm of his hands. And so it's something I think to be excited about and to just be ready for. So like we saw in the end of 1 Peter 4 verse 7, be serious, guys. The end of all things is at hand. Now, it could go on another 100 years. We don't know. But I think we live every day as though Jesus could come back today. So be serious. Be watchful in your prayers, Peter says. Be thinking right and be abiding in Jesus, resting in him in prayer. Watchful for the things you see, knowing that, Lord, I want to be ready for when you come. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together just to talk about some of these things, for the way that you've spoken to us through your word here today. Just bless my friends here in our church family. I pray that you would just be with them and comfort them where they are right now. May these things we talked about just bring hope and assurance, not fear or worry, but just to put them at rest, God. Because these are exciting days that we're living in, so I pray that we would trust you and be ready for all that you have for us here now. We ask in your name, amen. Why don't we close with a song here? I know it's gone late today, but we did something a little bit different and a little bit special. So hope that was a blessing to you guys. If it was, leave a comment in the YouTube section. If you didn't like it, say never again. And then we'll hear that. But and Randy's not allowed to put that in there because I know he would like to. So just join with us one more song. And then after that song, we'll close the live stream. We'll be done. And again, just continue to invite people to tune in to these at later times, and hope you're blessed. Join with us this week for Good Friday service at 10, Passover Seder at 7 o'clock, and then all the different ministries going on throughout the week. Check out our website, our e-newsletter as well, and you'll see what's going on there, okay? Lord bless you.